I think one of the things that makes this issue difficult, not necessarily for people who provide accommodations, but rather for the coworkers of the employees, to understand why they're getting off or why they're not at work.
Okay.
I think that's one of that misperception of a mental illness by coworkers.
Okay. Thank you very much for that input. And I think she's right. I think part of what makes mental health accommodation issues difficult is the hidden nature of the disability often. And that can have an impact not only on the individual who needs the accommodation, but also on anybody that they interact with. Our audience member's point is that it has an impact on individual coworkers when they don't understand why a person is being treated differently than others, if the reason for the accommodation is not necessarily obvious. I think that is a reality in our workplaces, and I think what employers can do better to mitigate against that problem is to do a better job on the front end of training their employees to know about accommodation rights, to know that the employer is obligated to provide accommodations in certain contexts, and to know that the employer won't be able to talk about it if accommodations are provided because of the obligations that surround confidentiality. And so I think even though that is certainly a problem, what you've identified is a problem, I think that if employers were to focus their training both for supervisors and to coworkers, people would better understand why certain things may be happening, and that no, they may not know exactly why John isn't at the morning meeting 2 days out of the week, or whatever the case may be. But they may have to just simply understand that maybe John has some rights that they don't have a right to know about. But they are important rights, and so I think focusing on the training aspects may be important. What I'd like to do as we continue further into this, I'd like to go ahead and give you my email address. You've got it in the materials, but I'd like to give it to you now so that if you've got any burning questions right this second, that you'd like to make a note of and you'd like to email me about, go ahead and feel free to do that. My email address is Susan, S-U-S-A-N, at WTWlawfirm.com. And so if we have any time left at the end, I'll be happy to, you know, check my email, see if we've got any questions that seem to apply to most people in the audience, and maybe I'll cover those. Or if we've got some time and I've not gotten anything like that via email, what I'll do is just call on folks too. All right, so I said one of the things we would do would be to talk about what I mean by mental illness and mental health accommodations. And so I like this definition of mental illness that's given by the National Alliance on Mental Illness because it presents it in very understandable terms. It doesn't give a lot of medical stuff to us, but it presents it in a way that each and every one of us ought to be able to understand this. Simply put, a mental illness is a condition that affects a person's thinking, feeling, or mood. Obviously, such conditions can affect how people relate to others and how they function each day. And one thing that's important for all of us to understand is that just because you have the same diagnosis doesn't mean it's going to manifest itself in the same way in all people. For example, this is true for physical impairments as well, but just to try to give you a better understanding of it, I've got a fairly severe asthma, and it's controlled by medication, and other people that have asthma may not have to take the same medicine I have to take as often as I have to take it, and they may not struggle at the same times of year that I struggle. The same is true for mental impairments. Just because you have two people who have PTSD or bipolar disorder, it doesn't mean that they are triggered by the same sorts of things, that they're going to relate to others in the same exact way, or that they're going to need the same kinds of accommodations. So the most important lesson I'd like you to think about when trying to understand what we're talking about in terms of mental illness is to think about this very simple definition, about it in essence boiling down to being an impairment that affects the way a person thinks, feels, or what their mood is, and impacts how they relate to one another and how they function just in their daily lives. Any questions on that? All right. I also told you, in addition to talking about what I mean by mental illness or mental health impairments, I wanted to really focus for a few minutes on why this matters so much and what the bigger context is. So these statistics show why it's so important. There are probably 250, 300 people in this room, and the statistic is that 1 in 5 adults in America experience a mental illness each and every year. That amounts to over 43 million people in our country. So if you just do the averages in your workplace and you think about the size of your workplace and the fact that roughly 20% of the adults you employ may have a mental illness, then you can appreciate that you will need to understand this topic. You'll need to put it in context in the broader scheme of disability rights, and you'll need to do a good job, or the employer that you're advising or the employees that you're representing won't get the justice that the law requires. They won't get the accommodations that the law requires, or they won't, they'll face some exposure and liability under the law.